Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Blue Shirt Banter Radio, and now two guys who would rather drink from the same glass as Amy Winehouse than root for the Islanders, Jim Schmiedeberg and Joe Fortunato.
That's pretty disgusting. Either way, there's a no-win situation there.
No, there is not a penny.
Good evening.
I don't have anything to say to that.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Blue Shirt Banner Radio. My name is Jim, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Joe Fortunato. Good evening, Joe. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. It is Wednesday, September 9th. We are 3 days away from training camp, and things are starting to heat up in the Ranger world. As you guys know, tonight we have a special guest. We are going to be joined in, I believe, about 15 minutes by Jess Rubenstein, or Rubenstein. Rubenstein or Rubenstein?
I don't know.
We'll ask him.
I guess we'll ask.
That'll be our first question for Jess. Anyway, Jess is from the Prospect Park. I think everybody knows him. He's been around a while. He also writes for the Blue Shirt Bulletin. And Jess is going to join us tonight, and he's going to go over how a lot of the Ranger prospects are doing. And then after that, we'll just go over some few things going on in the world of the Rangers. And since we are just a couple of days away from training camp, I think we better sound the alarm here. There it is, the Brandon Dubinsky siren. We are still waiting for that contract to be signed. It hasn't been done yet. Today, Joe posted on the website that Dubinsky expects that to be done by Saturday, and all will be well. Everyone can breathe in, breathe out, and then the Rangers can get down to business. So let's see. A couple of things we want to cover before we get to Jess. He should be here momentarily. I have a funny story for you guys first. The other night, I had to run down to the local Borders bookstore, and I came out of the store, I got in my car, and I was pulling out of the parking lot. I was getting ready to pull out of the parking lot, and I see a guy and his son getting out of their car. Young kid, I guess, about 10 years old. And he's wearing a Rangers hat. Nice white, I think it was the draft hat, actually. And he's wearing the Rangers hat. So I immediately pull into the fire lane, throw my car in the park, and I get running out of the car, and I go running up to this guy and his kid. And I said, hey, are you guys are Ranger fans? And they said, yeah. And I introduced myself and told them who I was. And I wanted to try and alleviate the father's fears. I think it was a little strange when I just came running right up to him in a parking lot asking his kid about the Rangers. But so I just wanted to say hello to them if they're listening. They seem pretty excited to have a site and a radio show devoted to the Rangers, and we had a nice chat for a few minutes. The young man's name was Joe. So, Joe, if you're listening with us for the first time, welcome, you and your dad. I hope you'll stick around and hope you've been checking out the site. And as always, we want to say hello to Poe678, who is serving in the military over in Iraq. And we hope that he comes home safe, and we just want him to know that we appreciate everything he's doing. And also, before we get too far into the show, I want to remind you guys that this is our final Wednesday night show. After tonight, we are going to come back on Monday night on just 5 days rest for you guys. Monday night is going to be a great show. We got another great show lined up for you guys. We are going to be joined by Jim Cerny from Rangers.com. He is the Rangers, for lack of a better term, he's their beat writer on their own website. I'm sure you guys, when you check out the Rangers website, I'm sure you've read his articles. He does a lot of great work over there, and he is going to join us Monday night. We'll talk a little bit about the Rangers and take your phone calls, and we're really looking forward to that. On 5 days rest. It's going to be like in football when you play on Sunday and then you got to come back and play on Thanksgiving. That's 3.5 days rest, but whatever. So yeah, we'll be back on Monday. That's what's Monday's date? I think that is the 14th. And then after Monday's show next week, then we settle into our official home on Tuesday nights. We will be on Tuesday nights from the following week, which will be September, I think it's the 22nd, right up until the end of the regular season. We will be on every Tuesday night from 7 to 9, and there should be no moving around after that. We still haven't decided what we're going to do on Tuesday nights where the Rangers play. I think there's 6 or 7 Tuesday night games. We'll figure that out as we go along. But, so we're back again. We're back Monday night. Then we settle into our new home on Tuesday nights from 7 to 9 and through the end of the regular season. So we hope you guys will stick with us and keep listening. We love having you guys in the chat room and calling in. It's really what makes the show go. Frosty's upset because he's not going to be able to watch Hell's Kitchen. They have this invention. It's called a TiVo. And it's really cool. You can actually program it to record your shows, and then you can go back and watch them later. And the best part is that you can zip right through the commercials. But, I mean, if given a choice between listening to our show and watching Hell's Kitchen, Joe, I'd choose our show, wouldn't you?
I mean, we could act out Hell's Kitchen right now, just cook something, and I'll just yell at you, no matter how good
that's
it is.
That's true. You could yell at me with a British accent. That might go over well.
And we could play the British siren.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, and the best part, and the other great part about our show is we don't have any commercials. We have no sponsors, no commercials, no budget, no nothing. So I apologize for Hell's Kitchen, Frosty. I'm sorry. Tell Gordon Ramsay we're very sorry, but catch him on the TiVo, or maybe we could all chip in a couple of bucks and get you a VCR if we could still find one. So. Chat room's already full. We've got a ton of guests in there already, and as always, Frosty's in there, City Hockey Fever. I'm sure Paulie D in the Mouth will be showing up soon, and some of our other regulars in the chat room. And we're just waiting for Jess to call in. We got about five minutes or so before he calls in, and then we'll get down to business with him and talk about what's going on. And then, like I said, the following week we have Jim Cerny from Rangers.com. We've got some great guests the next couple of weeks for you guys. And I'm not sure, is Jess going to take phone calls?
Yeah, he said he would call it to the fans.
Okay, so if you guys want to call in and talk to Jess after we get going, you guys can certainly call in and ask him some questions about what's going on. And we're going to stick to the prospect aspect of things with the Rangers tonight with Jess. Because you know, that's his specialty, and that's really why he wanted to come on and talk to us tonight, was about the prospects. So, you know, we'll hold off on the Sheridev questions or Dubinsky or Danny Heatley or any of the other dead horses that we've beaten to death. Let's keep it to the prospects. There's plenty of them for him to go over with us. So we're looking forward to that, and that'll just be in a couple of minutes. So, I was trying. There was something else I wanted to tell you guys about at the top of the show, and now I can't remember what it is. and I didn't write it down. Oh, well. So much for that. The Fantasy Hockey League, that was the one of the other things I wanted to mention. Fantasy Hockey League, the slots filled up in like one day. The response was so overwhelming, we actually expanded from 16 to 18 teams so that we could fit a couple of you other guys in. So the league of now is closed. I apologize to those of you that didn't get in. All I can say is hang in there for next year. I'm sure we'll be doing it again. And for those of you that have been emailing me as to when the draft is going to be, it should be sometime next week. All I have to do is change the status of the league from not ready to ready, and then it usually does the draft like that night, overnight, and then the next day you guys should be able to look and see what players you were distributed. So that will probably take place sometime next week. I just wanted to kind of wait until training camp got going and things started happening before I set the league to draft, in case anybody, give everybody plenty of time to make their changes in their rosters, their pre-rankings and things like that. So we've got two 9-team divisions. I don't know why it wouldn't break them up. I tried to break it up into another division. I thought it would be better to have 3 6-team divisions, but Joe disagreed with me, but whatever. It wouldn't let me do it anyway. So we have two very large 9-team divisions, and that's going to be how we'll play the season out. Frosty, no word on Blair Betts yet that I know of, but the Flyers have invited him to camp, so I guess they'll see how it goes from there. And apparently, I think we posted it up on the site yesterday, he has been assigned jersey number 11.
Unless he loses the spot, I don't. Who knows if he'll make the Flyers? But I guess currently he's Flyer property because he's. I mean, expect him to be a Flyer. If he's not a Philadelphia Flyer, I don't know where he's going. He might not even play in the NHL because if the only offer he got was from the Flyers, then I don't know what will happen if he doesn't make the team. But that is a pretty forward stacked team. I'm not sure if he's going to make it. There's a lot of prospects running around there, so that should be interesting. But you know, whatever. We'll figure that out as time goes on as well.
Now you said he's Flyer property. Is that true? Even though he just has what amounts to a training camp invite. If the Colorado Avalanche call him tonight and say we'll give you a 2-year deal, can he sign with the Avalanche or
CFR
honor the commitment to the Flyers?
No, I think he can. I don't think being invited to the training camp session is anything more than a formal invite. It's not like he put his pen. I don't think he put pen to the paper or anything. The Flyers will give him a contract based on his performance in training camp. If the Rangers right now reached out and said to Blair Betts, we want to give you a 3-year, $40 million deal, Blair Betts can walk away from the Flyers. But I don't think if no one signed Betts before, I don't think anyone's knocking. But no, I say Flyers property. He's technically not Flyers property, but currently the only team affiliated with Blair Betts is the Philadelphia Flyers.
Did you say 3-year, $40 million deal?
I did. He would go over the cap.
He would sprint. He would sprint to Colorado for that money.
It's actually illegal for him to make that much money. It's too expensive.
That's the latest on Blair Betts. I guess it kind of looks like he'll be a Flyer, but who knows what's going to happen. I think it's going to add a nice little extra edge to Ranger Flyer matchups with Brashear on one side, Betts on the other, and Pronger also with the Flyers. Plus, I thought last year, after Sean Avery came back to the Rangers, I thought he played some of his best hockey in those couple of games they had against the Flyers. He really seemed to get under their skin. And that'll add another dimension to Ranger Flyer games.
We're still waiting
on Jess to call in. I've got two calls on hold here, and I'm not sure if they're waiting to talk to Jess or if they want to talk to us. One of them is a Skype call, and the Skype call we had last week did not go well at all.
What's the worst that happens?
Let's go to the Skype call first. Let's see. All right, 111 on Skype. You're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this? Hello?
Hello? Man, we have horrible luck with Skype.
Hello, 111 area code. Are you there? Going once, going twice. It's all off.
Oh.
And down they go. All right, let's try this. We've got a 516-850. You're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio with Jim and Joe. Who's this?
Hi, this is John. How are you, buddy?
Hey, John.
Good, how are you?
I was just wondering, what's the update with Kessel? I mean, is there any shot of us getting him, or are they going to go into the season with no center?
Well, we're going to have. Hopefully, they're going to have Dubinsky.
Well, I know that. I'm talking. I mean, he's a two at best. I mean, we're going to go in with no number one, obviously.
Well, I think that Dubinsky is a number one, and I can also tell you for sure that Dubinsky is more of a number one center than Kessel is. Kessel is listed as a center, but he played quite a bit of wing.
Played a lot of wing.
Savard,
he
was with Savard. What I can tell you now is that until a date in October, Kessel will remain to be Bruin property until someone either signs him to an offer sheet or he gets signed by the Bruins. Obviously, Brian Burke has made things interesting with trading back for his pick, but I don't expect Phil Kessel to go anywhere near the Rangers. I think that once they've signed Brandon Dubinsky, which he said is happening very soon, I mean, they're not going to have enough cap room to sign a fourth liner, let alone a 40-goal scorer like Kessel. So I expect him to be on the Bruins. I mean, he could be on the Maple Leafs if things get interesting, but don't expect him in Ranger blue.
So you're okay going into the season with Dubinsky as your one?
Yeah, I mean, we've had this debate before, and I think the best point that I can make is that when you think about Marian Gaborik and you look at the games he's played and you looked at the goals that he's scored, he does not really need a first-line center to help him. He does not need a Gomez-type passer to make him more efficient. His speed is his calling card. He has great hands and really good hockey smarts. He can move around the ice. Honestly, to me, the most important player for Marian Gaborik is a great outlet pass from the defense. So whether it be Redden, yeah, exactly. So, but I think that Dubinsky will do absolutely fine with him. Gaborik has stated multiple times that he's not even remotely worried about who his center will be, and all he needs is about 3 feet of space, and the man can do wonders with the puck.
He's got to stay healthy, though.
Well, and I mean, I don't know if you read the article that Jim posted or if you've heard some of the debate we've had. John Tortorella's camps actually decreased groin injury because of the way he works the players out. And even furthermore, I mean, he played the final 10 games of last season. He was a monster. And the Ranger doctors evaluated him and said that he was 100% healthy.
What station are you guys on the radio?
This is the radio.
Oh, there's no dial that I can listen when I hang up?
Oh, there's no dial. Oh, you can listen. If you go on to blueshirtbanter.com, you can listen on Hot Talk Radio.
Let me ask you one other question. I see something on Hockey Buzz. I know it's always rumors, but I wouldn't do it. They were talking that Ottawa was looking for Stahl, Dubinsky, and Rosenwald for Heatley. I wouldn't do that. Would you guys?
No, I wouldn't do that either. Joe and I had this discussion earlier.
Yeah,
online.
We did have this discussion, and I will let you know that rumor actually started in Ottawa, and for whatever reason, Hockey Buzz took it and made it his own. And no, the Rangers wouldn't trade Callahan to Ottawa for Heatley. I doubt very highly now when, every team looking for Heatley has tons more leverage is going to give up one of their top prospects for Danny Heatley.
What's the chances of McLennan making the team?
I'd say they're decent as a seventh defenseman. You're not talking about a guy. He's not a guy that had great skating legs to begin with, and that's kind of works against him in a Tortorella system. But I've said all along, I think you need that veteran defenseman somewhere in the just a guy that can fill in case the one or two one of the rookies falters. I could see him hanging on as a seventh as a seventh defenseman, a Jason Strudwick type, a guy that can fill in maybe play 30, 40 games a season, something like that.
So you're looking at Gilroy as your 5 or 6 right now?
Yeah, Gilroy, expect Gilroy to make the team.
And then your 6 is up in the air with Sauer, Del Soto, Sagginetti, one of them guys.
Right.
Yeah,
that,
and
that,
the dark horse
going to
be Häkkinen.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, into the season we go, we got better scoring, but we lost the sentiment. So, you're thinking Gabrick could do it on his own if he stays healthy. Maybe by the deadline, if we get in the playoff run, we could pick something up for the stretch, I hope.
Well, that's the one thing I had said previously was that, you know, if you got nothing to lose by trying to play Dubinsky as the number one center, and then as the season goes on and the league divides between pretenders and contenders, there'll be big time centers available. You know, that's a given. And you know, if you have to, then you can make a deal near the trading deadline and get that guy that can help you. But I have no problem with them going into the season with what they have.
We don't even need them off a shot.
No, I mean, what if you're thinking about it, who centered Gabrick when he was in Minnesota aside from Pavel Dimitra? That was like a big name.
Yeah,
I mean,
Dimitra,
you know,
played the wing too, so I agree with you.
You had Koivu and all of them, but I mean, if you've done, the Rangers got one of the few like game changers in the NHL that does not need a passer to score goals. And I will put him in the category of, you know, you don't think that Kovalchuk, if we brought Kovalchuk in, needs a good center to get him to score goals. Ovechkin doesn't need a good center to get him to score goals. Gabrick does not need he does not need great passes to open him up. He makes the space for himself. So I'm truly not worried, but I agree with Jim. If it gets to the point where, you know, none of the centers work, I mean, don't forget, Vinny Prospel can also be a number one.
Yeah, he can move
center
to the middle.
Yeah, he can play center as well. So I'm really not worried. There are tons of options. And for me, the biggest thing about Gabrick is speed. You want a speedy guy next to him so that if he has to dish the puck, he can, and Dubinsky can skate with the rest of them. So,
you think picking up Prospel was because of Tortorella, a better move than getting Sikora back?
I think picking up Prospel was a little bit of keeping, you know, a backup for the center position in case things don't work out, and he was an incredibly cheap option at the time. I mean,
anytime
you can get a 20-goal scorer for $1 million, sign me up. So I think that it was a little bit of everything.
2 years ago, he's a 30-goal scorer. Hey, John, we got to move along. I got Jess
on hold. Listen, thank you for your time. You guys are fantastic. Thank
you.
You're
welcome.
Thank you. Listen, call us again Monday night when we have Jim Cerny on, okay? Thank you very much.
You guys are fantastic. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
John. Bye. All
right. We love new listeners. Okay.
How did you find us without knowing the site, though?
I don't know. Maybe we were, you know, I tried to get us featured tonight on Blog Talk Radio. Maybe that actually happened, and he just kind of stumbled upon us. But right now we want to bring in, I believe he is on the line, Jess Rubenstein from the Prospect Park and Blue Shirt Bulletin. And Jess is going to join us this evening. Jess, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How you doing?
Hey. Good evening, Jess. Jim and Joe here with you. Welcome to the show. We appreciate you coming on tonight. Before we get started,
I'm really happy to be on with you guys. You know, I've been getting to know you guys over the summer, and so this is really an honor for me to be with you guys.
Oh, we appreciate it. Before we get started, I just want to ask, how's the knee doing?
You know, I've been injured. I've had broken bones, so I've had the teeth knocked out, black eyes, concussions. I don't know how hockey players can put up with knee injuries, like a torn ACL. This is the most painful injury I've ever had in my life. And I have a really healthy respect now for the kind of hard work and dedication a guy goes through to come back from an injury like mine. And mine was really relatively minor compared to a torn ACL.
Right.
But I wouldn't wish this on an Islander fan.
Oh wow. You really are hurting.
The first hour of my day every day is probably the worst. Just getting out of bed. I mean, it's weird how we take things for granted. Just being able to bend the knee. Boy, it's crazy, but hey, you know, I'm following Traverse City right now, and you know, it looks like we missed a really good fight. There's a kid that Detroit prospect team by the name of Mitchell Callahan, who was a teammate of Tyson Dozak. Great little scrapper. And he took on Mike Berube, who the Ranger fans don't know about. He's a 21-year-old defenseman who's coming to the Rangers via the Vancouver Giants of the Western Hockey League. They know each other. So this wasn't, shall we say, not the first time these two have danced.
So that's pretty interesting. And I know you're a big Tyson Dowsick fan. You've been talking about him for a while on your site. And you and Joe have been working together on these prospects, so I'm kind of going to let you and Joe talk, and I'm just going to listen because, quite honestly, both of you know more about Ranger prospects than I do, and I'm just going to take some notes. So, Joe, why don't you step in, and you and Jess have at it.
All right. Hey, Jess, how are you?
Great, Joe. It's a pleasure to finally get to talk to you. We've been doing a lot of talking over the summer, and I think this is a great time to be a Ranger fan.
Yeah, it is a good time. So I guess where we're going to start here is if you could go into just a little bit of detail about the Traverse City tournament itself and kind of what it means for prospects, you know, on the Rangers and what this means for the development and the kind of outlook we're getting, because I know you are, we're doing a lot of, you know, prospect reports on the Traverse City tournament, and we're talking a lot about how players are playing in it and what it means. So if you could just give us a little background on this and let us know what's going on.
Well, the brainchild of the Traverse City tournament was Ken Holland, the Detroit Red Wings general manager, who was looking for a way to enhance his own prospects. And he turned it over to a businessman back in 2001 who basically started inviting NHL teams. Tom Rennie and the 2004 season, when they returned from the lockout, brought the Rangers in on it, and it's a good measuring stick because you're getting to take your prospects and put them up against the other team's prospects. It's a chance for them, instead of to be playing each other in practice. Practice is a nice, but you don't go out full bore like you do in an actual game. So Traverse City gives these kids a chance to basically show to the Ranger staff exactly what they can do. John Tortorella is, from what I've been told, he's sitting in the stands with the Hartford staff running the team right now. And it's a chance for kind of like the kids to showcase their skills and themselves to the Rangers. And it's worked. I mean, Tyson Dozak, as you know, he's one of my favorites. He turned a Traverse City invite last year into a Ranger contract. Dale Weiss, who was a fourth-round pick last year, he turned Traverse City into a springboard that got him, instead of going back to the juniors, to the Hartford Wolfpack. It's a great chance for these kids, not only that, but to play actual games with each other. We see kids like Michael Delzato. He's pairing up with Danny Magical, and you don't get a chance to do that in practice because what is the training camp roster? What, 44 players right now?
Yeah. Yes. 44 players.
Well, if you go to once they get to training camp, which is starting what, Saturday. A kid's going to get lost in the shadows with all those bodies. Traditionally, in the old days, the kids would make a token appearance, spend a day or two at the main Ranger training camp, and then, cut back to their junior team or cut to the Hartford training camp. So Traverse City gives these kids basically an entire week of Ranger practice with the Ranger staff. And the Ranger fans have seen Brandon Dubinsky, Ryan Callahan, Mark Stahl. Those are prime examples of kids who, gotten a good look by the staff, gotten told what they need to work on. And this year, the guy that's going to probably jump off really well is going to be the two kids who unfortunately are going to wind up in Hartford. That'll be Dale Weiss and Justin Sorrell. They wanted them to show some leadership, and that's exactly what they're doing. So it's a great camp.
Okay.
Okay.
Your radio on?
Mine?
Yeah, I can hear myself in the background.
No, actually, mine isn't.
It must be the phone.
It cleared up. It seems to be all right now. Before you guys go on, I just want to. We got Bob from Miami is on hold, and Bob, just hang in there for us. We'll get to you in a couple of minutes. Jess, Bob from Miami is one of our regular callers, and he is a huge fan of yours. So he's been really looking forward to talking to you. So we'll get to you, Bob. Just hang in there with us. We'll get to you in a couple of minutes. I promise. Okay.
Oh, I really really want to interact with the fans. They're the main reason Prospect Park exists. So anytime you want to bring somebody on, ask questions, please do. Prospect Park is about Ranger fans more than anything else. They're a huge part of the content because, you know, Ranger fans all over the world. I get sent pictures, I get sent reports. It's like having an eyes everywhere. I find out about future kids to keep an eye on for draft picks because of guys like Bob. So anytime you want to bring somebody on, go right ahead. Please do.
Okay.
Whenever you're ready to take a call, Joe, you just let me know and I'll bring him up, okay?
Okay, well, we'll take Bob after this question, but I think that I wanted to get this out there from the get-go. Obviously, you know, the Scott Gomez for Chris Higgins trade kind of outlined just that, Scott Gomez leaving and Chris Higgins coming in. But I think, Jess, what a lot of people don't realize is just how good of a prospect the Rangers got back in Ryan McDonough. And there's a lot of, you know, I mean, me and Jim can say it until till we turn blue in the face, how good he is. But can you tell, you know, people as a prospect guru yourself, what you see in this kid and what makes him so special that has, you know, every prospect that I've talked to, from you to things that I've read on Hockey's Future, you know, so ecstatic about him as a player?
Well, I got to start off with, you know, there are some people who are born to be leaders. That's him. There's a natural leadership. I watched him last year because I was following Derek Steffen, who's going to be his teammate. And he is, you know, more like a chess player of a defenseman. I'm not exactly sure what he's going to do at the pro level in terms of whether he wants to be an offensive or a defensive-minded player, but whichever one he chooses, he's going to be really good at it. He's got international experience. He's played for Team USA. He's smart. He's strong. I can't remember defensemen scoring shorthanded goals in the past, but he had two last year. He's been on the all-academic team for the WCHA. He's going to be a team captain this year. And I tell you what, if you get a chance to watch the Wisconsin Badgers go on TV, jump at it. You're going to really love this kid. He works hard. For a college player who they don't normally fight, go ahead. Don't mess with one of his teammates. McDowell is going to get in your face if you mess with one of his teammates. I think every Ranger fan is going to just love how, in this case, Glenn Sather made a steal. Yeah, to get this kid is unbelievable.
Yeah, you know, I fully agree with you, especially considering that basically all the Rangers gave back was Scott Gomez. And you all heard what Jeff said. I kind of follow the NCAA hockey because my Quinnipiac Bobcats play in D1, but I cannot tell you the rave reviews that I got about this kid. And I just want to let you all know that after the trade happened, Jim and I went on to Habs Eyes on the Prize, which is the Montreal Canadiens SB Nation site, and their, you know, writers and posters were more upset that they lost McDonough than they were about losing Higgins. So I don't know.
The Canadiens fans, they were devastated about losing McDonough. They were absolutely devastated.
All right, well, if you want to put Bob on, Jim, that would be okay.
Okay. Let me pull Bob up. Let's see. Oops. All right. Bob, are you there? Hello, Bob? Bob, are you there? Hello?
Come on, Bob. We got a score update from Traverse City.
I know that's Bob, but I wonder if he stepped away for a minute because he didn't know we'd get to him so quickly. So we'll give him a minute. We'll check on him. Why don't you guys?
Okay, I have another question lined up. Just sticking with the University of Wisconsin theme. When the Rangers drafted Stefan a couple of years ago, I think he was lost in the limelight of the Rangers acquiring Evgeny Grachev. And I know that I am aware of the type of prospect he is, but if you could give us a little bit more background information on him and what you see from him, because he had one hell of a international evaluation camp. And I have heard nothing but good things from him since he stepped onto the ice, from his freshman year at Wisconsin to, him playing in the evaluation camp. So what do you see from him that, you think would make either a good or a not good prospect for the Rangers?
Oh, actually, you know what? I actually really like him better than I do any other of the prospects out of that draft class. Derek is, when I talked to him last year, he blew me away with his almost a quiet, matter-of-fact confidence. At the time that I talked to him, Wisconsin had started off like 0-4. And he hadn't scored a point. And so I was like, hey, Derek, when are you going to score something? And we were talking, I think, on a Tuesday, and he goes, Friday I'm breaking through. And I'm like, really? I thought it was kind of like a yapping, but he goes, Friday, I feel that we're gonna get our game together. And everything he lived through, why? He went out that Friday and followed through. He had a couple of goals. He is a really smart player. I think from an hockey IQ standpoint, I think he's probably the smartest Ranger prospect there is. The thing that you're going to love about him is his first step. It is unbelievable. I watched him, I think, 4, maybe 5 times last year, and in each case during that game, he caused whoever he was playing against to take a penalty because nothing fancy. He just took off and exploded. And the only thing the defender could do was just pull him down because it was blink and he was gone. And there was another play that I think highlights the type of player he was. He was breaking down on a 2-on-1 with his line mate Mike Davies. And he never touched the puck from center ice in, but he's yapping, he's screaming, he's tapping his stick on the ice. He's doing everything and anything to draw the attention of the defender and the goalie to the point where both of them went right to him and forgot that he didn't have the puck. And so all Davies had to do was just kind of like walk in and just tuck the puck in. And it was just basically pure hockey IQ that caused that goal. This year, He's going to be my breakout prospect of the year. Everybody knows Delzato's going to do good. Everybody's in love with Grachev. But Derek Stefan is going to be a first-line center in the National Hockey League within 3 years. That's how good he is.
Wow.
Which is a pretty big claim. And, we're touching on that draft class a little bit. So I guess we can continue with, a lot of people see Grachev as the next savior of the New York Rangers, and while I agree that he's definitely one of the better prospects that the Rangers have, what do you see from him that either, makes him as special as everyone says he is, or is there just not enough information out there because he's only played a year in the OHL that we can make a distinction like that?
I think and I'm guilty of it too because I gave him the nickname Godzilla last year. I think we need to temper our expectations. He's going to be a power forward. He's going to be a serviceable player, but he is not the savior of the New York Rangers. he's going to be a productive 25, 30 goal scorer. He's going to be a first line power forward. The thing about Gratzev that I think people are forgetting is that he was playing with some very good teammates at Brampton last year. Matter of fact, he was playing with Cody Hodgson, who's Vancouver Canucks property, and Matt Duchene, who went third in the draft last year. So if you have the firepower and the talent to go with it, he was playing mostly second line duty, and when he did, he wasn't exactly going up against the very best. Even Gratchev himself will tell the story that he's got a lot to learn. He needs to learn about work ethic. He was shocked about how here in North America they actually expect you to work hard every night. So I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea that he's going to be a bit of a dog, but at the same time, I think we need to buy some time for Gratchev. He's only 19, 20 years old. He's probably 2-3 years away from being, a regular, steady contributor to the New York Rangers. And I'm really afraid that Ranger fans are going to see that 40 goals from last year and expect him to make the Rangers this year. It's not a good idea. He's still growing.
All right, that is a good point. And, Jim, you said you have Bob on the line?
I think we do. Let's try Bob again here. Bob from Miami, are you on the line there? Bob? Uh-oh.
He's having some connection problems.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to talk to me.
He keeps trying it. We keep losing him. He keeps coming on and hanging up. Bob, one more time. Are you there? Yep. All right. Well, try again,
Bob.
If
I told you, Bob, that the Rangers are supposedly meeting Detroit 2-0 at the end of one in Traverse City, will you come out and play with us?
Well, that's good news. The Rangers are winning.
So there are good.
They're beating Detroit's prospects. I mean, come on. Can anybody remember the last time the Ranger team actually beat the Detroit Red Wings? So take this.
It was a while ago. Yeah.
Take a win over Detroit any way you can get it. But according to the scoreboard that I'm following right now, I think there's a mistake. But the Rangers with two goals at the 20-minute mark. I think it's probably a 1-0 lead. And two tryout guys have the goal. One of them, I think, has got the goal. And I think that's something else that I really was hoping we could talk about is the Rangers' luck with finding free agent players. I mean, Tyson Bozak, Dan Girardi. The Rangers have done a really good job in finding those not drafted and getting really good contributions from. And I think that some of the kids that are on this roster that you're seeing, the free agent contract players, they're gonna come out of nowhere and surprise a lot of Ranger fans, like Sam Klassen and Trevor Glass. Both good, strong, steady defensemen. They have a shot at becoming NHL players too.
There was a question I saw in the chat room that I thought it was a really good question, and it was, do you think that Ryan Bourque's early season success is because of his skill, or do you see him leveling out after a period of time, or is he the real deal? And I guess we can also add a part two to that to Roman Horick, who is also having a great start to his year. So what do you see from the two of them that would lead you to believe that they're either doing really well or just on a hot streak for now?
I think Ryan Bourque, I think he is for real. There's no question about his offensive skill. If Ryan Bourque was 6'1", nobody would have any worries about him. But because he is really small, and I know you guys saw him at the draft, I really wonder if he's actually shorter than what they list him at. I think they list him at, 5'9"? And I think he's closer to more like 5'7". It's, to me, the durability is going to be the bigger factor than his skill. He's got the playmaking skills. He's got the goal-scoring skills. He is for real offensively. The question is, when he's being hit 9-in, 9-out, and he's playing, in the case of the Quebec League, 68 games, plus playing for Team USA, can his body take the abuse? He's actually one I would have preferred to see go the college route, where he could spend 4 years there and let his body mature. But I think you're going to see a good probably 30 goals out of him, 60-some-odd points total, because he's playing in an offensive-happy league. We're not going to find out for sure until he gets out of the Quebec League, though. Horak, on the other side, I don't know if people are aware, but the Chilliwack Bruins have Glenn Sather and Brian Burke as two of their owners. Part of the reason that Chilliwack selected Horak was based on the Ranger recommendation, but I think it's win-win for the Rangers here in this situation. Horak got great offensive skills. He's got soft hands, smart vision. The question is, the knock on him that I've heard from Europe is, does he want to show up every night? So far he has. He was actually in Chilliwack before he needed to report, which is kind of unusual for a European import. They usually don't show up until after the camp starts. But Horak has been wanting to come over. He wants to play. I think he's going to be a really nice steal out of the sixth round. There's another thing, too, that he has an advantage, that his coach at the junior level is a guy that has won the Memorial Cup, has won gold medals in the World Junior Championships, in Mark Habesfield. And, when you come from programs that are winning, then you develop a winning attitude. And once you get used to winning, you don't like to lose. And that's what these Ranger prospects are going to bring to the future, is, kids like Horak, kids like Bork, who have this anti-losing attitude. And boy, is that a welcome relief.
It's a really good point. I personally, a lot more about Horak than I do. I kind of can't find information on him. But I have been pretty stoked about Ryan Bork, and everything I've seen from him and heard from him has pretty much made me really happy that the Rangers were able to nab him. So I am pretty excited about him. Here's a question I have for you. We're kind of taking this into a different turn here. Ika Heikkinen, is that how you say his name? Heikkinen? Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. I have never seen him play, and my own experience is the Rangers have had nothing but really bad luck about free agent Europeans. So I want to see him first make it past training camp. I've heard a lot of good things about him, but I have this nagging little feeling that I don't see him making the Rangers this year. I want to see him survive Hartford. And I want to see him going against players who are basically more goonish and animals in the American Hockey League than he's used to in Europe. And I want to see him survive a half a season, and then let's come back and talk about him. I just haven't seen the Rangers do well with these kind of free agents before. So I'd be surprised if he plays well with the Rangers, or if he doesn't just wind up going back to Europe. I hate to say that about somebody, but it is kind of like the truth. I mean, if you look at the list of guys that the Rangers have brought over from Europe that they didn't draft, how many have actually ever made it to the National Hockey League?
I mean, to his credit, staying on Heikkinen. And when the Rangers signed him, there was reportedly, you know, a bunch of teams interested in him. The Detroit Red Wings were one of them. So, you know, that's my first sign that the Rangers may have done well here. And a lot of the beat reporters were talking about in their little development camp after the draft, his ability to run the point. And, you know, Steve Zippy in particular talked a lot about his ability, like his shot, Zippy said, was just a cannon. And Carp said that he had some really nice vision and he made some good passes. And a lot of people are saying he might be the sixth defenseman out of the camp, that it's between him, Sanguinetti, Sawyer, and Potter. So, I mean, I agree. I didn't know anything about him, which is why I asked you. But to his credit, I have heard some good things. So who knows? But I hope he does well, obviously.
I don't want him. You know, I don't want anybody to think that I'm rooting against him. But I just look at the Rangers' track record. And it's not very good when it comes to European players. To be honest with you, Henrik Lundqvist was actually a Neil Smith draft pick. So Glenn Sather hasn't done good. I know Gratchoff's coming and Horak's done pretty well, but there's still a long way to go. And I hope he proves me wrong. I really do. You know, that nothing is to me is sweeter than having to eat my own words. But I don't see him making the team out of training camp.
Jim?
I just want to, for those of you that have just joined us, you're listening to Jess Rubenstein from the Prospect Park and Blue Shirt Bulletin on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. If you guys want to call in, Jess is going to take phone calls, 646-478-4692. And we're going to try Bob again. Bob, I don't know if he's having some technical difficulties. Bob from Miami, are you there?
Yes, do you hear me this time?
Yeah, we hear you, Bob. Hello.
Yes, I do exist. I'm not a figment of their imagination.
Bob, I was just gonna drive down to Miami with my cell phone and say, "Here, go get on the air already."
I was ready to ask you to. Number one, I don't know. I'm not a technical. Whatever went on. Who the heck knows? Between the computer failing with you know this weather, all of a sudden Comcast does whatever it does. But besides that, Jess, number one, I really have been reading you on, you know, from Blue Shirt Bulletin. And your blog, and of course I love your blog more than anything else because it's almost like a daily check-in like it is with Blue Shirt Banter. And I also want to hope that you get better and not have to go through that pain, but that's part of it, I guess. I really have, I don't know, I missed most of the show because of the computer mess up, but, you know, there were the six top, and I think you mentioned some of them, you know. But what about the guys like that are in Hartford? Not the last 2 years the Rangers have seemed to have drafted unbelievably well. But what about the guys that are in Hartford? Like, you know, you've talked about some of them, I guess, like Sawyer and Potter and Kundrick and Sorrell, all of those guys. Are those guys just a figment of my imagination, or do any of them really have a legitimate shot? Because I kind of divide the prospects into three groups. There's the Magic Six, which you've started to talk about, you know, with anybody from Azanoff and Gratchev and Delzato, Stefan, McDonough, and Sagnetti. Those are, to me, the big six, the guys they've drafted the last 2 years. And everybody in between, all those guys in between are the ones that I'm really curious what you think about, the ones that have a shot.
Well, first, Bob, thank you, you know. I really appreciate the really kind words, and you know, it's like I say all the time, the Prospect Park is basically you guys. The reason we started Prospect Park, Doobie Silverstein and myself, was more than anything else, is because the Rangers once upon a time said that Ranger fans don't care about the prospects; they only want the superstars. And guys like Bob and you guys, Jim and Joe, and everybody else who reads it, show every day that Rangers fans love the kids. But to your question, well, let's start. Thomas Kondratik is, you know, he's an enigma. I really like the kid. He's got the talent. He really does. Of all the defensive prospects the Rangers have that are built ideally for the Tortorella system, it's Kondratik. I mean, he's a great skater. He can be an offensive defender. He can be a defensive defender. His role model is Dino Phaneuf. But the question is, is he going to grow up? Last year he was so frustratingly inconsistent because he had a 4-point night and then disappeared for 8 games. And then when he came back, had a great night and then disappeared. I'd like to see him go back actually to the Medicine Hat Tigers of the Western Hockey League, where he can dominate. I think that if he goes to Hartford, he's gonna wind up spending more time either in the press box or down in the East Coast Hockey League, because there are guys that might be less talented but harder working and willing to do the little things to win. And I think until Kondratik learns that lesson, he's going to frustrate the you-know-what out of Ranger fans. Michael Sauer comes from a sports family. His family is so famous in Minnesota because you're talking about a kid. His brother has won a Stanley Cup. You know, Kurt Sauer. His uncle played in the Super Bowl. His mother holds an NCAA record for most wins in a softball season, and you can go on and on. I mean, there's like 9 members of that family who are great athletes. He is a quiet, soft-spoken, very religious player who has struggled through adversity. He has had hip surgery, a misaligned neck, and he keeps coming back. You know, what Tortorella did to him last year with the benching was classless, but the one person who didn't complain about it was Sauer. Knowing that kid, he tucked it away, and that's going to motivate him. Don't be surprised if Sauer steals a spot somewhere along the line. Corey Potta, it just seems that the Rangers every year have that one prospect that gets on the you're coming, though you're going highway. Greg Moore 2 years ago, Corey Potta mm-hmm. last year. We got to find out how mentally tough it is, because I think Potter, because of the yo-yo, lost some confidence in himself. I think he's going to take a step back this year, and other guys are going to pass him by. Dan Byer came back from a really bad knee injury at the end of last season. If he hadn't gotten hurt, I think he would have actually been the best reason to get rid of Aaron Voris, because if John Tortorella lives up to his word, Dane Byers should be on the fourth line. I watched Byers when he was in the Western Hockey League. He was the ultimate shutdown defensive forward, and he may not win every fight, but he's going to give you 100%. He's going to chip in more goals than anybody else on the fourth line will, and I think he's going to surprise people. Dale Weiss, if he stays healthy, is still developing. He's gotten better every year. I think he's going to make big strides. The player that's on the bubble in my book right now is Brody DuPont. If he doesn't break out this year, he's going to be passed by with other prospects. So that's one guy to watch. Goaltending-wise, I think I'd like to see Matt Zappa come to Rangers training camp with the intention of challenging Lundqvist for the for the starting job. I mean, I don't want to hear somebody say I'll be happy with being a backup. If you come into camp saying I'm happy to be a backup, then don't show up. You either want to be the starter or you don't belong.
Right.
And you know, the Rangers have got a lot of talented kids. You're going to see probably a 1 year transition, because the 2007 draft was really bad. So we might have a short little gap, but 2008, 2009 is more than going to make up for it.
That's, you know, I appreciate all that you say. Like I said, I so appreciate your blog, because one of the things, like you said, I've always thought I was more atypical than not, where so many of the people are from my era, because we always wanted to see the young kids. Nobody ever talked about them. And the Rangers, I've always felt, had a philosophy, which I mentioned before to the guys, that they didn't care about the young kids, and they always wanted overage superstars that didn't do anything. You don't build a team. I'd like to see the Rangers be what Detroit has been for many years, have a dynasty that doesn't necessarily mean you win the cup every year, but contend every year. And I think when you talk about the young guys and you talk about effort and wanting to be there and wanting to be on the first line and to be the number one goalie or the number one defender, and that's what you need. Your team has to be, in my opinion, at least half, if not more, homegrown. It gives you a backbone of what the team philosophy is. And I guess my other part of it was that I always thought that Sather really doesn't seem to care about his own young players, especially, I mean, what goes on with Dubinsky, even though I know he said we weren't going to talk about it, is unbelievable. I mean, that's just what he always does, and he always gives them up, or they never get the shot. This is the first time that we've got a coach. I mean, Rennie, I think you said in one of your articles, which I guess is really true, was great in development and, you know, actually put the Rangers into a development of young kids and did that. And he actually played a couple for whatever reason, but nobody else did before. And the coaches that we had have been terrible for a long, long time. And, you know, Tortorelli is at least a good coach. He's proven it. He's fiery. He's what I like in a coach. And I just hope he actually, like you said, gives those young guys the shot, because, like you said, the pipeline seems to be filled with so many young players, especially defensemen. The big question is, who do you see as a scorer on the wings, even though we lost the Russian player for whatever medical reasons will ever come out from that? Is there anybody that we have in the system that, besides Grishnev, that could be a scorer?
I'm really hoping for Chris Doyle. He's not at Traverse City because he suffered a really bad back injury to one of his discs. So his doctors wouldn't let him come to Traverse City. He's a power play specialist. I mean, he led all Ranger prospects last year in power play goals. He basically only played half a season, but he had over 30 goals. And as offensive crazy as the Quebec League is, if he had stayed healthy, Ranger fans would have been talking about him instead of Grachev, because he was blowing Grachev out of the water for the first half of the season, points-wise. I mean, Grachev didn't pass him until February, and at that point, Doyle had been out about a full month and a half. So Chris Doyle is a good offensive-minded player. He's going to be a power play specialist. He's got a natural feel for the puck. There's another dark horse who's playing for Western Michigan by the name of Max Campbell. Max Campbell is somebody that nobody knows about, but if anybody, the Ranger fans are going to love, it's going to be Campbell. Because of NC2A rules, the kids who are college kids have to pay their own way to attend a Ranger training camp. But the last two summers in a row, Campbell has paid his own way to attend the development camp. He wants to be a Ranger. He's skinny as a rail, He's 6 foot, but he led Western Michigan in goals last year. I project him as a wing in the National Hockey League if he can ever find a way to put maybe, you know, another 10-15 pounds on. But even right now, he's impossible to move from the crease, as skinny a kid as he is, and you're not going to outfight him. I think a lot of the Ranger fans will really love, the fact that he kind of, let's put it this way, remember Richie Cunningham of the show Happy Days?
Right.
That's what Campbell looks like.
Well, listen, my phone's about to die, so I wanted to just once again just tell you how much I appreciate all the, you know, the years in reading you and the blog and so on, and I hope you come on this show more often because it's so great to hear you talk about all the guys that you write about, and it really is just terrific. I enjoy it immensely, and I just they get better, and just keep doing what you're doing. I'll hang up before the phone dies in the middle of a conversation.
Thank you very much for being the support. But also thank the kids, because the kids actually do a lot of their own reporting. they email me, they call me, and they tell me what's going on. And the one thing that Prospect Park, I think, is different from any other place is the fact that the kids do take an active part in reporting what's going on. So with Twitter and Facebook, you'd be surprised if how many of the Ranger kids are on Twitter or on Facebook, and they read what especially you guys with the banter. They a couple of them told me that they've read you guys before, and it's a kick for them, you know. Joe at the banner was saying that he thinks I've got a future. You know what that does for these kids' confidence? To know that the fans want them, and they want to be Rangers just as much as you guys want them to be Rangers.
Well, we lost Bob. I think his phone died. But, the one thing that I've learned since we started Blue Shirt Banter is I didn't realize just how interested Ranger fans are in the prospects. It amazes me. Once we start talking about them, everybody gets excited and wants to participate. Joe, you want to do another phone call or you want to ask another question? We got another call. It's been on hold for a few minutes. I'll leave it up to you.
We can do another call. I know Jeff likes hearing them, so we'll please the guest, and I like hearing from our callers, too.
Okay, we'll take another call here. 631-678, you're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio with Jim, Joe, and Jess. Who's this?
Hey, it's Margaret Hurley. I'm Hurley from My Blue Shirt Heaven.
All right, hang on.
Hi, Margaret. How are you?
This is the first girl who has ever called our show.
She's not a girl.
She's a lady.
It's our first... It's our first female caller. We've had a female guest, but never a female caller. So welcome, Margaret. How are you this evening?
Hey, I'm good. I just went over to Blue Shirt Bulletin, and I saw that Jess was going to be on your show. So I have a burning question for Jess.
Okay. Hi, Margaret. It's a pleasure to finally get to talk to you.
Yes. One of these days we have to meet at the garden, eh?
Yeah. Only if you promise cookies.
No, I think cookies are over and you know why, but we won't go there. Anyway, the question I have for you, and this is a concern to me, and the reason I'm glad you're on the phone, because you're watching the prospects and you made a comment before about Matt Zaba. And my question to you is, and I know that you feel that he should be shooting to replace Henrik Lundqvist, but Henrik Lundqvist is Henrik Lundqvist. My concern is with this compressed schedule and the amount of games that Henrik played last year, he's not going to be able – it's going to be an instant replay of 2005-2006 where he came back from the Olympics with a gold medal and burned out. So my question is, do you feel that Valiquette is a bona fide backup for Lundqvist, or are there any prospects like Zaba or Wickerman who can maybe leap over Valiquette and take that position and do a good job and give Henrik 20-25 games off?
You know, you've read me, so you know that I'm not a Valley fan. It bothers me that he's only played 12 to 15 games the last couple of years. We have to, you know, we should all be on our knees and praying to the hockey gods, saying thank you that Henrik Lundqvist has not suffered any kind of injury over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I hear that.
I don't think the Rangers, let's put it this way, lose Lundqvist, and we'll be talking about picking first or second in the draft.
I was in favor of when Clemenson went UFA, I was in favor of them spending the money and signing him because he was happy with the job in New Jersey, and I thought that would have been money well spent. But, of course, you know, other blogs that I go to, they sort of booed me down and everything. But I honestly am fearful and unhappy. It's not that I don't like Steve Eliquette. He has the stones to get the job done.
Steve Eliquette's a great guy in the locker room. I personally have witnessed, you know, what he brings to the Ranger locker room. And that's really great, you know, and that's wonderful. His teammates love him. But, you know, you got to wonder, you know, a coaching staff who, you know, and this includes Tortorella, too, that only wants to use him 12 to 15 times, you know, a season. Lundqvist, I think, should be between 55 and 60 games because of the compressed schedule this year. I'd like to see Zappa come in, take the job. Chad Johnson is not going to be an average prospect because he's much older. He's a system goalie, though. So I think he'd be a good backup. But I'd hate to throw a kid into the fire with, you know, no, shall we say, professional games behind him. I don't see Wickman as a prospect anymore. I think he had his chance and shot himself in the foot last year.
Yeah.
So the Rangers are going to have to make a decision. Let's put it this way, whoever is sent to Charlotte in the East Coast Hockey League is actually going to be the number four goalie in the Ranger system, because I see Zappa, number three, playing majority of the games in Hartford. Wickman as the backup in Hartford is not going to get a lot of action, and Johnson will be down in Charlotte playing most of the games down there. But the Ranger of the goalie prospects, I think I really, really do like Scott Stacher. He of all the guys behind Henrik Lundqvist, I think he's the only one that's showing me that he's capable of being an NHL starting goalie.
Wow.
We're talking about a kid in Stacer who at age 17 was playing against some of Canada's very best of his age group. I mean, he was playing against John Tavares, the first pick. He was playing against Cody Hodgson, who was the 10th pick in the 2008 draft. He was playing against Gratchuk. He was playing against Matt Duchene. And he was holding his own. He's going into the season with Owen Sound as a starting goalie. He's only 18. He's cool as a cucumber. And if you didn't know that he was 18, you'd be blown away by his maturity level. I see him as the guy that, when the smoke clears, is probably going to be passing Zappa, Wickman, and even Johnson as a Ranger goalie.
Wow, that's, you know, thanks. Just the coverage that you give is invaluable to people who just, you know, have their head in Madison Square Garden and really nowhere else. And when I became aware of you know, even looking in the pipeline at prospects and stuff, was during the lockout. I got to go up to Hartford and a couple of games in Bridgeport. And you know, when you go to the AHL and you look at what's in the pipe and you see who's playing, you know, it gives you a better perspective on, you know, they don't just pull these people out of thin air. These guys, my friend's son plays junior hockey right now on Long Island for, I guess it's the Bobcats. And this boy's been playing hockey since he was a little kid. He was a freshman varsity player at St. Anthony's. He was on the Junior B Champion Royals. And it's such a tough road to hoe. And these people put in so much that, you know, it's very, very hard to make it to the show. So your evaluation of these people and how they're doing is invaluable to fans who, you know, just scratch the surface of hockey and then gradually over the years started going in deeper and deeper and deeper. And I really appreciate it. I have one other question for you regarding the prospects. Do you think that if Parenteau does not make it, that it's, you know, he's kind of out of here?
I'm sorry?
Parenteau, Pierre Parenteau. He's like 26 years old.
I don't consider him a legit National Hockey League prospect.
Okay.
You know, I think he's a good guy to have in Hartford to basically take the pressure off the young kids. But, you know, every franchise needs him. I mean, Ken Germander, people forget that he showed the young kids the ropes. And, you know, that's why I'm not too brokenhearted over Kyle MacLaren being invited to the Ranger camp, because if MacLaren winds up in Hartford, then these young Ranger defensemen are going to have somebody who's been in the National Hockey League, who's going to show them the ropes. And, you know, it's easier for you to learn from somebody who's out on the ice with you than just somebody who's a coach going, well, back in the day, you know, when I was playing. That, after a while, doesn't really work. You know, for the Rangers, Adam Graves is probably the most valuable person in the Rangers scouting department, because all of these kids who are Ranger draft picks, they know who Adam Graves is. Adam Graves walks into a room, he's got his Stanley Cup ring on, and when he talks about, well, hey, you know, hey, Joe Fornato, when I want to see you work on your skating, if you do this or do that, and here's a couple of exercises, these kids gobble it up. I mean, every year when I ask these kids, well, who's talking to you? And in other words, they talk about getting a phone call from Adam Graves. They talk about getting Adam Graves visiting them. And, Brandon Dubinsky is a great example of it. Brandon Dubinsky grew up an Adam Graves fan. And, you know, when he would come back from Ranger camp and we would talk, he would talk about what it was like to meet Adam Graves. And, you know, and like I said, these guys, we're talking about 17, 18, 19-year-old teenagers who are just like us. They sit down and they watch the National Hockey League and they root for the Rangers, and, you know, and to have, you know, have somebody say, hey, look, I've got a phone call from Adam Graves, or, hey, look, this is Adam Graves. We went out to dinner together. The effect is priceless.
Yeah. I just want to ask you, I'm having a little bit of a debate with somebody about who's going to be first line or first and second line center, and with the way things are going with the Rangers, I would tend to think that Tortorella is going to take Prosper and put him up top with Gavrik and maybe on the left side Higgins, and also Drury, because he's Drury and because he's captain, is going to get the second line center spot. Where do you think Dubinsky will fit in? And right now, according to Steve Zappe, Dubinsky's sitting on tenderhooks waiting to find out what the hell's going to happen to him. Do you think Sanders going to trade him? What's going on with the kid? You know, I mean, I like Dubinsky. I've always liked him. 2 years ago, I thought he and Ivan Baranka had a shot to make it. And Baranka got sent back to Hartford. Dubinsky stayed. What's the deal? Why isn't that boy signed?
This is a really uncomfortable position for me because I'm not objective here.
Okay.
The reason Prospect Park and why I do Prospect Park is because once upon a time there was a kid by the name of Brandon Dubinsky who kind of like was my savior in terms of being a Ranger fan When I first met him, we talked about what it meant to be a Ranger fan. I mean, this is a kid who grew up a Ranger fan. His dad's from Long Island. His dad is a friend of mine. So,
okay. All right, so you can recreate yourself.
No. I'll answer the question. This is, I want to preface it. This is Jess Rubenstein, Ranger fan, not the reporter speaking. Brandon Dubinsky is a kid that I've gotten to know and I've gotten to watch grow up. From a personal standpoint, what the Rangers are doing to Brandon Dubinsky flat out disgusts me. Every year, the Rangers would say, you know, Brandon, we'd like you to go back and work on your skating. Brandon, we'd like you to go back and work on your weights. We'd like you to do this. Brandon, we'd like you to do that. Brandon, we'd like you to run through the wall. And every year, Brandon Dubinsky did that. Brandon Dubinsky, in 1994, like all the rest of us, see, we were all adults back in 94. And we were enjoying it. Brandon Dubinsky was an 8-year-old kid. And winning the Stanley Cup was Ranger, you know, when the Rangers won the Stanley Cup, was a highlight of his childhood. You know, meeting Jaromir Jagr when he was 10 years old was a highlight of his childhood. Brandon Dubinsky bleeds Ranger blue. When he came back from Ranger camp after winning the rookie award from at the Ranger training camp, we didn't talk about the award. He wanted to talk about the honor he got of being the person who painted the Ranger logo at center ice at Madison Square Garden. He didn't want to talk about playing with Jagr. He didn't want to talk about any of that stuff.
So what do you think they're going to know? You think they're going to trade him or what? I mean, you know, it just doesn't make any sense to keep the kid on tenderhooks. And, you know, not for nothing, but I like Ryan Callahan a lot. But personally, and I know everybody would, like, come down on me like a ton of bricks, personally, I see them both at the same level, and I think that Brandon should be making close to the same amount of money, if not the same amount of money as Callahan. That's how I feel.
I mean, if I can butt in for a second here on this matter as an objective view, the reason why Glenn Shather is doing – oh, hey, Jim, how are you? I forgot you were there for a minute.
Doing well.
The reason why Glenn Shather is doing this to Brandon Dubinsky pretty simply is because he can. He has leverage over Brandon Dubinsky. And as much as you get attached to the players, you need to realize that hockey is a business and the NHL is a business and the Rangers are a business. And I completely agree with you that I think that Brandon Dubinsky deserves the amount of money that Callahan is making. But, I mean, obviously there are problems because Dubinsky only wants to sign a 1-year deal because he doesn't want to give up his arbitration, right? And he doesn't want to be unsigned. He doesn't want to be signed through when he's an unrestricted free agent. So I think that at the end of the day, Brandon Dubinsky is going to accept, a 1-year deal for $600,000 or something along those lines. And, you know, I mean, there have been no discussions about either side being upset. And there's been no discussions that Brandon Dubinsky thinks that the Rangers are cheaping him. He is aware of the situation. He knows the drill. And I think that for the most part, he'll be signed and there'll be no hard feelings. But right now, Stater has all the leverage and all the power to him to use it.
Well, actually, I really didn't want to address this, but I would like to say a couple of things. Brandon Dubinsky was only looking for Ryan Callahan type of contract. I mean, he only had like a point or two less than Callahan last year, and it was a fair deal. The other thing that is that the Rangers don't want Dubinsky to sign a 1-year deal. The Rangers want a multi-year deal. They want to lock him in. And Dubinsky, you know, because of everything that's going on, Dubinsky isn't wanting to sign, you know, 2-year deal, 3-year deal. He does, as you say, he wants to protect his rights. But let me tell you this much. Brandon Dubinsky has taken the high ground. I'd like to point out that the Rangers for years have said that they don't talk publicly about money, but yet there was Cameron Hogue telling Larry Brooks how much that they offered Dubinsky.
Yeah.
Dubinsky's the one that's taking the high road. I disagree that the Rangers are taking the high road here. The Rangers know that they can give Dubinsky $1.5 million and not sweat it. The thing that's the heartbreaking thing is that Brandon Dubinsky is a true Ranger fan. Brandon Dubinsky is a true Ranger player. He will do whatever you ask him. But yet the Rangers, in their tradition, their traditional nonsense, will give money to a Kotalik who isn't a Ranger. They'll give money to a Prosper who is, you know, we still can't prove that he's going to show up 100%. And he will, you know, they'll give money away left and right to guys who aren't Rangers. But to take care of their own, nah, we're not going to take care of them. But the one person they better watch out for is the quiet man, the one person who was watching all of this, and when his contract's going to come up, say they better break open the bank, because Mark Stahl's contract is up next year, and he has been the lowest paid Ranger defenseman for his entire time as a Ranger. And
he's put up with a lot of crap, too.
Yeah.
He's put up with a lot of
Mark Stahl's has already proven that he deserves, you know, big time money. And the Rangers have basically, as Joe said, because they can, have shorted him.
Yeah.
And that's gonna come back and haunt the Rangers. Mark my words.
If they do, you know, that's the thing is, you know, they take a fan favorite, they take somebody who's a heart and soul player, they lowball them, they chisel them. You know, and I'm getting really sick of that stuff, you know. It's like, not for nothing, Jed Ottmeyer got caught up in the whole Bobby Holik web. And it was unfortunate, but if Sather had paid the signing bonus to Jed, he would have had to do it for Holik. He would have to pay Holik. And that was really unfortunate. And everybody thought, well, Jed was trying to play hardball with Sather, but that wasn't the truth. You know, and I love the kid. I mean, I thought he was one of the best things that happened in the last 7-8 years to the Rangers was Jed. But what are you going to do? He got caught between a rock and a hard place. And, you know, they buried him. He was just collateral damage, I guess you would call him. But bottom line, I think the fan base is going to be really ticked off if Dubinsky isn't re-signed. And as far as Kotalik goes, Jess, I was at the fan forum, you know, Meet the New Rangers. Man, Kotalik has some pair of pythons on him. I couldn't believe the size of the guy's upper body. Amazing. Hello?
Well, if we're going to believe the folks at Point Street, the Rangers are now up 4-0 over Detroit, despite being outplayed 14-5 in the second period. Yeah, I mean, that's a happy note. That happy news. And the thing that I think that I don't know if you guys are following the game like I am, but it's been the tryout kids who were carrying the day. Luke Walker, who's a kid I'm really familiar with from playing with the Portland Winterhawks. He reportedly has 2 goals and an assist. There's another kid, Mitch Galton, who I think is going to be another one of the prospects that people are going to be kind of like amazed by the season he has, because he's been hurt the last 2 years, but he's dropped 30 pounds. He's in great shape, and he's going to be a factor for the Erie Otters, who is actually coached by a former Ranger, Robbie Fatorik.
Robbie Fatorik,
listen,
the former also.
I don't want to wear out my
devil.
Welcome. I'm sorry.
All right,
I don't want to wear out my
That's
welcome.
Okay.
Thanks a lot for taking my call, Jess, and maybe we'll get to see each other around the garden one of these days, eh?
Well, one of these days. I don't get time during the season to come back to New York, because the Rangers do have done a great job keeping me busy. There's about 12 to 14 prospects every year that I got to keep track of. The only chance I get to see a Ranger game is when they, you know, they come out west, and I have a chance to catch them, you know, in Vancouver or Calgary, or down in the L.A. area. But the odds of me getting to come to New York during the season is probably slim and none.
All right. Well, Margaret, we thank you for the call, and we want to get back to talking about the prospects. We didn't want to really get into the whole Dubinsky situation. We want to kind of keep it to what's going on with some of the new guys. So we've only got a half hour to go. But, Margaret, I do appreciate you calling, and give us a call again sometime. So, Joe, why don't you and Jess get back at it? Like I said, we got about a half hour to go. And if any of you other guys want to call in, 646-478-4692. And, Paulie, thanks for waking me up, buddy. You know, it had been like 20 minutes. I was having a hard time getting a word in.
All right, I have two questions left for you, Jess. And one's obviously going to be a little bit more difficult than the other, but I'll start with the easy one. Who in your right now would you consider top prospect, like for the New York Rangers, and, you know, aside from Anisimov, top prospects that you see who will have a direct impact on the New York Rangers within the next 2 years? And if you want to throw in your top disappointments, you can as well.
That's really a loaded question. Actually, I have two prospects who I think in the next couple of years are going to be an impact because they play two different positions and they have two different responsibilities. Michael Delzato on defense. I think everybody already knows what Delzato is capable of, but send him back to London next year where he's going to get to play for Dale Hunter, and everybody knows who Dale Hunter is. Hunter's a great teacher, and he's made a great transition to coaching. Delzato, if he's back in London, is going to play about 30 minutes a night. He, I think, is capable of becoming almost like Leach-like in terms of offensive skill, from taking the puck from behind the net and rushing it up. That Leach is the only person I could think of in terms of describing Delzato's offensive skills. The only area where Delzato needs to improve on is I want to see Delzato take the puck right to the net. I think Michael Delzato is capable of 15, 20 goals a year. He's got great passing skills, great offensive skills. He's got, Margaret was talking about the Pythons that Kotelik has. Delzato has got a chiseled body that if we did a body fat count on it, if you find more than maybe 2-3% body fat on it, I'd be shocked. The other prospect would be Derek Stepan. I think Derek Stepan is going to come out of nowhere, and he is going to become the offensive leader, the playmaker that the Rangers truly lack. He can be a goal scorer. He can be a passer. I think he's going to force either Anisimov or Dubinsky to the wing. You know, the Stepan is a smart player. Disappointment. Ooh, I think right now a disappointment for me would be, and I hate to say that because he's still got potential, is Kondratic, because Kondratic, to me, drove me nuts last year because he has offensive skills, he has defensive skills, but he just never put it together consistently. And that drives me nuts. I mean, I like guys like, you know, Dale Weiss, Justin Soriel, Michael Sauer, guys who may not have the world's greatest talents, but will show up with their lunch pail, will, when they come off the ice, have blood on their uniform, you can see the skid marks on their arms from the cherries from going down the block shots and stuff like that. Kondratic doesn't need to do any of that, but if he ever did, he'd be a great player. He's probably my disappointment.
Okay. So now
there's that phone thing again.
Joe?
Yeah, I hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, why don't you hang up and call back? All right, we're going to have technical difficulties there with I think it's Joe's phone. I'm not sure. Can you guys in the chat room hear that feedback? Wait to see what the, yeah, apparently there's something going on. See, I'm on Skype too, Jess. I use it for the show, and I don't know if it was me or if it was, I think it was Joe, because he seemed to be the one that was having trouble. Joe, are you back with us? Joe, are you back with us? Joe?
Nobody wants to talk to me. I'm getting a complex.
I keep losing Joe. Hold on.
Well,
sorry, Jess.
Well, actually, I just got an email from the Rangers. John Tortorella is going to be available to the media at 11 a.m. at the training center tomorrow. Nope, excuse me, not tomorrow, Friday, 11 a.m. at the Madison Square Garden Training Center.
Sorry
about that. So I guess I'll get this in before time expires on my phone. Jeff, I asked you this before, but if you could give a letter grade for what you've seen from the Rangers farm system in total, I'm talking AHL, OHL, whatever it is, an A being the Rangers have tons of prospects who will be ready to step into the NHL for the next 5 years or so and make an impact with the New York Rangers, to an F, which is the Rangers have no prospects that are ready to step into the NHL for the next 5 years and really don't have anyone who would make a substantial difference. Where would you, as a prospect expert, put the Rangers on that scale?
I'd say B-.
A B-?
The best prospects really aren't NHL ready. The system is still kind of like starting just to gain a little speed, momentum. A good prospect system is going to give you at least two players a year. I think the Rangers are capable of giving. This will be the first year I think that they'll be able to say that two prospects or more prospects can come up and they can go down there for fill-ins. I think Sanguinetti, Gilroy, Sauer, Potter can play defense. There's no question that Anisimov should be a Ranger this year, but if injuries happen and they need depth, Dane Byers is a good choice. I really hesitate to say that Gotchoff is NHL ready, because I still think that he has a lot of growing to do, both physically and mentally. So defensively, the Rangers are in good shape. Offensively, they're not. I think they only have one player ready. And I think we do have a big question about, you know, if something happens to Lundqvist. Can Zapper, Wickman, or Johnson come up and split time with Valiquette? That's a huge question mark. And because of that, that's why I'm saying right now, B-. Now, if you talk to me next year, I expect Derek Stefan, Michael Delzato. I think both of them, when they make the jump to the professional ranks, Delzato especially, if he does exactly what I project he's going to do, is not even going to go to Hartford. Delzato's going to make the jump, just like Mark Stahl, directly to the National Hockey League. Stefan might need half a season in Hartford, but next year that grade will go up. And I'm a real tough grader. I'll never give anybody an A, because I always believe that you always have to keep churning people out. So to me, a B is actually a great grade.
Okay, we have Joe has one more question for Jess, but before we get to it and then let Jess go, if you guys want to call in, now's your last chance. If you guys want to talk to Jess from the Prospect Park and Blue Shirt Bulletin, 646-478-4692. We have about 20 minutes to go, so go ahead, Joe, and then we'll wrap things up with Jess.
All right, this is kind of spur of the moment, Jess, so I'm sorry if I put you on the spot with this question, but which prospects of all of the prospects that are less known, so I'm talking not the Delzados or the Grachevs or the, you know, the Sawyers or the Stephans, do you think will make the biggest difference for the Rangers? You know, the set of guys that not many people know about, who do you see, since you obviously cover them and know more about them than the average fan does, would have the best chance of making a difference for the Rangers?
If, and this is a big if he can ever stay healthy, Mitch Galton. Mitch Galton has had more bad luck than anybody else. See, let's put it this way. If there's a lightning storm and Mitch Galton's out there in the middle of the field, I guarantee there's a million people out there, Mitch Galton's going to be the one struck by lightning. I mean, this poor kid has had so much bad luck. But before he got hurt, his elbow originally, a lot of the scouts were whispering about his offensive skills. And the Rangers took a chance on him with the sixth-round pick. If he'd have been healthy, I'm pretty sure he would have probably gone second or third round, and we'd have been talking about his contributions. But he's lost basically 2 years at the junior level with a lot of your development. But if you want to follow Ranger prospects, come check out Prospect Park and look at the people who I also read. There's Victor Fernandez of the Erie Otters. Well, not the Erie Otters, the Erie Times News. He covers Mitch Galton all the time, and we were talking about him, and Galton has lost 30 pounds. He's playing 10 pounds less than what he did last year, and I think that's going to make a big difference. As a matter of fact, tonight he's already got an assist, and he's been skating well. The reports that I've gotten on him from the guys who covered the other teams is they were like, wow, where did they get this kid from? Mitch Galton would be a guy to keep an eye on. The other guy to keep an eye on is going to be Ethan Ware. Doug Gilmore is his coach in Kingston. And there's, you know, he had 32 goals last year. And that was playing on a really, you know, weak Kingston team. I think you're going to see Ware come up with probably a 40-45 goal season. Keep an eye on him, too.
Ethan Warrick was a guy I had a chance to talk to after the Rangers drafted him. And I was lucky enough to talk to, I think, five of the different picks the Rangers made. And he was by far my personal favorite. He had a look on his face when he put that Ranger jersey on over his head. He looked like you or I would have looked, you know, if we just got drafted by the Rangers. He just had that kind of excitement around. I mean, he was just so thrilled. It meant the world to him to be a New York Ranger. And it was just, he was just a nice kid to be around. He had such a great vibe about him. And I'm glad to hear you mention him, because he's a guy I'm going to be rooting for as the years go by.
Well, you guys went to the draft last year, and you guys experienced a lot of what I experienced. And it's really hard not to like these kids. I mean, like I said, they're fans just like we are. You know, their difference is that, you know, when I was a kid, I'll be the first to admit, I was slow, I was a choppy skater, I was a midget. And, you know, my chances of making the National Hockey League were, you know, less than slim and none. But that didn't stop me from when I skated, from dreaming about that moment. So you see these kids like Ethan Warrick, you know, Roman Horick, and you know, they heard their name called, and they're now so close to being, you know, a New York Ranger. And I think the Ranger fans, you know, we forget what being a Ranger is all about. I can go anywhere in the world and I can find a Ranger fan. The magazine, the Blue Shirt Bulletin, we've got readers in Switzerland and in Japan and South America. I mean, you Google the New York Rangers and you're going to come up with 15 million, 15 million responses. No National
right.
Hockey League team does that. I mean, you guys are and I'm going to plug you guys here too because people should know this. You look at the lineup that the Blue Shirt Banter has. Laurie Carr, who is one of the very best at talking about Russian hockey prospects. You're not going to find that elsewhere. You guys, Joe and Jim, I may not agree with everything you say, but your heart and soul goes in everything you write. Ryan and Nick, they're so diehard fans. And now the only difference between an Ethan Work and you guys is that they actually play hockey. But they're just like us, We love the game, and the best part of it is talking to these kids because I have the best job in the world. I get to look in the crystal ball, and I get to see the Ranger future, and to see a Brandon Dubinsky make it when everybody else said he had no chance, to see Ryan Callahan make it when everybody said he was too small, too skinny, and that the first time he made it to the National Hockey League would be when he purchased a ticket. That's what somebody once wrote about him.
Wow.
Jess,
we got two more calls on hold. You want to take two calls before we let you go?
Sure.
Okay, let's see if we can get through them real quick. 845 area code. You're on Blue Shirt Banter Radio. Who's this?
This is DB Maven.
Hey, DB Maven.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, your Lord. I'm calling just to see how that knee is, right?
He keeps telling me every time I'm going to appear on somebody's show to break a leg,
Yeah, he sent me that message last night, too. DB, we only got about 12 minutes to go. Did you have a question for Jess, or did you just want to bust his
I needed to bust, but real quick, but I did have a quick question, and you may have touched on it already because I was doing a couple of things and missed the early part of the show.
That's unacceptable.
Do you think? I told you, you got to go to Wednesdays, and you're doing it for me, or get away from Wednesdays, so, you said you were going to do it, so I'll hang on in that. Real quick, McDonough, do you think he's going to play all 4 years in college?
I think the Rangers want him to, but I think this will be his last year, and I think he's going to – I think he's ready – I think he was hurt at the end of last year, and
right.
Unlike what Hugh Jessamine did, he's come back to make sure that he's ready. He's in shape. He hurt his arm, so he's coming back to play. And I think 3 years, which is actually 1 year more than most hockey players are doing now in college, so I think he's jumping after this year along with Stefan.
Cool. All right. Take care of yourself. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, DB. We'll see you Monday night.
Night.
All right, we're going to take one more, and then we're going to wrap it up with Jess. And we've got 347. I'm trying to connect you here, buddy. Come on. I can't pull it up. It's not connecting. There we go. 347-515. You're on Blue Shirt Banter Radio. Who's this?
Hey, it's Kay Bryan. What's going on, guys?
Hey, how are you?
I just had a quick two questions for Jess. I always want to call into the show, but I'm always working Wednesday night, so I never get to call in, and I guess this would be the perfect time because I'm not.
You're going to be our last Wednesday night caller, so aren't you? Because,
all right, so I guess that works out perfectly for me.
Next week we go to Monday, and then after that we move into our permanent home on Tuesday night. But anyway, go ahead and ask your question.
All right, so if I definitely miss this at the beginning of the show, I'm sorry because I just got in, but me and my friend always had this argument about what kind of player Grochev is going to turn into. And I guess just because of the size and the fact that he's Russian, and that he came off of like a 40-goal season, comparisons have been made to Malkin, but I just wouldn't want to know what kind of player you foresee him as, comparable to anybody.
I don't compare him to anybody. Grachev is going to become Grachev. He's a hybrid. I have watched him play a finesse game, and I've watched him play a physical game, and he's done it well. Last year, I counted during, I think it was like a three-week stretch. He had this scoring streak of 10 games, and during that streak, he scored, I think, 14 goals, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but of the 14 goals, I would say that he scored 14 goals nine different ways. And that's unbelievable. I mean, I've watched him slam at home. I've watched him wrist at home. I've watched him dipsy doodle at home. I watched him pinball a shot off the defenseman, and it was a deliberate. You can see that it was a deliberate attempt because he was aiming, and it went right in off of a defenseman's skate. I think Grachev is going to be kind of a prototype for the new wave of power forwards, where you have to be able to be a great skater. And, you know, I'll tell you what, you know, we're all talking about Grachev's numbers, but there's something that people aren't realizing. Grachev had a plus 48. He can play defense, too. He was on the Brampton power, on the penalty kill. He's not going to be a one-way player. And for a lot of these Russians that come over who just like to sit at the blue line and just take passes and go up ice, Grachev and Anisimov are going to be loved by Ranger fans because they play both ends of the ice. And that's why I don't want to compare him to anybody, because I think he is going to be his own man.
Okay. Well, thanks.
All right. Kate, bye. We appreciate you calling in. Give us a call again on Monday night, okay?
All right, thanks.
All right, take care. All right, so that's going to wrap it up for us, Jess. We only got a few minutes to go. Jess, we really appreciate you coming on. This was a lot of fun. You are a fountain of information.
I'd like to, if I can, give it a minute. I'd like to talk about the blue shirt real quick, because that's what pays
sure.
my bills. For those of you who don't know about the Blue Shirt Bulletin, we're the only independent print magazine out there that you can get Steve Zappe, Andrew Gross, Rich Carpinello, everybody who covers the Rangers, Rangers beat, in the Daily News, in one magazine. For $30 a year, you get 10 great issues, and you get covered every part of the Rangers, from me at the prospect level all the way up to the parent team. We work hard, and I got to tell you something. Keep an eye on www.blueshirtbulletin.com this year. We have new owner, Dan Ackleson, and he's promising some great things that are going to happen. And I think Ranger fans, we're going to just love it. And I also want you guys who are regular readers of the Blue Shirt Banter, keep reading these guys. Keep calling in. These guys do a great job on this show. And I also want to thank each one of you for reading Prospect Park, because, like I said, I get a lot of information from you guys who email me and send me pictures, and you know, it's impossible to be everywhere at once. So I want to thank everybody for being supportive of Prospect Park, and I also want to thank Jim and Joe, who become really, really good guys to get to know and get to talk to, and I really look forward to you know, working with you guys over the hockey season, because the Ranger season, the Ranging franchise is about to get better. In spite of Glenn Sather, in spite of James Dolan, things are going to get better for the Rangers.
As that they are. I couldn't agree with you more, Jess. And again, thank you from both of us. Joe, I know you wanted to say something before we let Jess go.
I wanted to let you all know, and this goes out to Bob and everyone else who was commented on, you know, the plethora of stories that we do on Blue Shirt Banter about the prospects. We got more coming. They're only possible because of Jess. And, you know, if you didn't catch it, definitely go to theprospectpark.blogspot.com. There really is not another competent, I don't even think there's another site, to be completely honest with you, out there that does prospect reviews the way he does. And, you know, we try to bring him in, you know, we bring in his quotes and stuff, but the real stuff is there. Honestly, make it part of your daily read. If you're curious about anything, he has it. And, I mean, just I can't stress enough how helpful he's been to Jim and I for not only the show and the live chat that he did a couple of months ago and, you know, all the information he's been giving us. So thank him by going to his site, click on his links, read his stories. They're really good stuff.
If you want to send a question, just click on the site and send me the question. I never say no to anybody who wants to ask a question. I'm a fan just as much as the rest of you guys. So I'm there anytime anybody wants something, because we as fans need to make sure we support these kids to show the Ranger management that we want these kids to make it more than we want the free agents.
All right, so make sure you check out Jess over at the Prospect Park and Blue Shirt Bulletin. And, Jess, we only got about 2 or 3 minutes to go, so we're going to wrap it up. And once again, thank you very much. And maybe you check in with us in a month or two as we get into the season, and we'll talk a little bit more about what's going on down on the farm.
I'd be really honored to come back on, and anytime you guys want me to say the message. And we're beating Detroit 4-1.
There you go. All right. Thanks, Jess. Have a great night, and I hope you feel better. I hope that knee gets better real soon.
Thank you, Jackson. Thank you for having me on.
Anytime. Thanks, Jess. Good night.
Good night.
All right, Joe. So that was Jess in Prospect Park. What a great job.
Yeah, we needed a show like this.
It was it was great, and a lot of great information there. The only bad part is it was so good, and there was so much information that we've run out of time.
Well,
and
I think of it this way. We're coming back in 5 days, and obviously you and I had
5 days,
a couple of things to talk about, so we will probably cover it on Monday.
I apologize to those of you in the chat room who wanted to get into the whole TSN story today that's got us all up in arms. Believe me, I was ticked off about it too, and I did want to talk about it tonight, but unfortunately, I don't think anybody's too upset about it though, because it was really great to have Jess on and go over all that stuff. So we'll try and get to it Monday night. I think Jim Cerny's going to join us about 7:15, 7:30. I'm not sure yet. Like I said, he's going to take your calls, and we'll talk all about the Rangers by then. Hopefully, Dubinsky will be signed, and we can put that to rest. And other than that, as always, we thank you guys for listening and for reading the site and for doing such a great job in the chat room. And just a couple of our friends, we've got RangerCrisis.com. Make sure you check out the Mouth site over there. We got Laurie at Beyond the Blue Shirts, Dave at Blue Seat Blogs, Steve at nyrangercast.com, Ryan at themanicranger.com, and Nick over at rangerstribune.com. Joe, any final thoughts? We got about a minute to go. I haven't gotten the warning yet from British lady.
I just wanted to say to all of you that Jim and I were talking about this today, and I think it bears mentioning. We have over 600 members on Blue Shirt Banter, and you know, a lot of you comment regularly. For those of you that are lurking, please come in, you know, voice your opinion on stories, say whatever you want. We really do keep an incredibly open and welcoming environment. There's no personal attacks. There's nothing that would deter you from wanting to post and give your opinion. We have great discussions. So for those of you that are lurking, that are looking, that don't want to write anything, that don't have anything to say, come in, comment, you know, join up, become part of the family. Honestly, it does a lot for everything, because our stories are twice as good when there's 70 comments on the page, and it just keeps the site going. So for those of you that are not commenting daily, just, you know, saying a word here and there. I mean, I know Jim agrees with me, but just do it for us. I mean, it'll be fun. Trust me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, don't ever be worried about you know, calling in or you know, posting on the site. We're none of us are experts. We're just all guys, just like you, guys or girls, just like you, that just love the Rangers and just love talking about them. That's why we do the site. That's why we do this show. It's as much fun for us as it is for you guys. And again, we got like 25 seconds to go. don't forget, I know I keep saying it, I just want everybody to remember, Monday night, September 14th, Jim Cerny, Rangers.com. Then we go to Tuesdays for the entire regular season. 3 days from training, and we got to go. Have a great night, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you guys next week.
Thank you.